Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
Among the traditions in many cultures around the world, we find stories that have been handed down from generation to generation. And interestingly, one of those stories that we find in many of those cultures is the mention of a worldwide flood. And though many of those stories vary greatly in their content and in the details, still, what we find is that in many of them, the reason for that flood is attributed to the wickedness of man. And we also find that in many of these stories, there is the mention of a boat that brought a family to safety through that flood. But the real story of that catastrophic event can be found in the Bible. It can be found in the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 7. And unlike all of those other stories, this account of the flood has been written by God Himself. And so it is the only account that is accurate, the only account that is the literal, the historical account of how God drowned the world because of their sin and because of their rebellion against Him. And the writers of the New Testament, and even Jesus Himself, refer to this account of the flood in Genesis as fact, as truth. So we may wonder, why do so many people try to deny the truth of the flood? Why? Why do you think? Well, perhaps it is because it is an uncomfortable reality to consider, because it is a warning that sin has consequences, devastating consequences, eternal consequences. It highlights the fact that God hates sin, and so sin brings judgment. The flood is the evidence that we are all accountable to God for our actions, for the decisions that we make in our lives, for the decision to come to Christ for our salvation. And the flood is the evidence that God alone has absolute power over His creation to bring destruction and to bring deliverance. No wonder people are uncomfortable with the truth of the flood. And in the days of Noah, sin had infected every part of the earth. It was running wild like a virus that was out of control. So nothing less than a new beginning was required. As it will also be required, we are told in Matthew 24, verse 37, when Jesus returns to this earth. The judgment of the flood is a preview of His return, a preview of His judgment. Which is why I am sure that many people feel even more uncomfortable with the flood. So we're told in verse 17 of Genesis chapter 7, the flood of water came upon the earth. Hayah in Hebrew. It fell down upon everyone and everything Nothing was spared. And this catastrophic deluge of water lasted nonstop, it says, for 40 days, day and night, as Noah and his family and the animals who were all inside of the ark became the only hope for the survival of mankind. No pressure, right? And the water of the flood increased, it says, Rava in Hebrew. It continued to rise minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day. And so it lifted up the ark higher and higher so that it rose high above the earth. And we are told in verse 18 that the water prevailed. Gaver in Hebrew. It dominated the land and it increased greatly upon the earth. And so we're told the ark floated. Ha! It moved about like a cork, bobbing up and down in the water, on the surface of the water. Rather rough ride, I would think. And we're told the water prevailed more and more upon the earth, so that there was no longer any land that was visible, only water. Just like it was in the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth. This was to be a new beginning. And so all of the high mountains everywhere under the heavens were covered with water in this worldwide flood. And again, we're told in verse 20, the waters prevailed. They rose up 15 cubits, over 20 feet higher than the highest mountain on earth at that time. And so all of the mountains were covered with water. And as you might expect, we're told in verse 21, all flesh, basar in Hebrew, every living thing that moved on the earth perished. They all breathed their last breath. Birds and cattle, wild beasts and every swarming thing that swarms upon the earth, and it says all of mankind, everything that lived on the dry ground in whose nostrils was the breath of the spirit of life, they all died. It says muth in Hebrew. They all ceased to live on this earth. They were gone. Do not be deceived. Life and death are in the hands of God. And so there was no place that was high enough, and there was no place that was far enough away for people to run to escape the judgment of God. Thus it says in verse 23, God blotted out every living thing that was upon the face of the land. Maha in Hebrew. He washed away the sin, the stain of the sin that had polluted the earth. That's the real pollution on this earth, sin. And so he wiped everyone out, from man to the animals, to creeping things, to the birds of the air. We are told that they were all blotted out from the earth. There was total devastation There was total destruction. This was God's answer to the sin of the people in the days of Noah. And it is still his answer today. His answer has not changed. As we're told in Psalm 34, verse 16, where it says that the face of the Lord is against evildoers to cut off their memory from the earth. But we're also told in Deuteronomy 32, 39, that the Lord says, yes, it is I who puts to death, but it is also I who heals. The grace of God prevailed over and above the waters of the flood. And so we are told in verse 23, yes, only Noah was left alive together with those who were with him in the ark. That is true. But for them, there was deliverance. That is the hope that we have. There is deliverance. There is deliverance in Christ. And so it says in verse 24, the water prevailed upon the earth, but for only a limited amount of time. We're told it prevailed for 150 days, prevailed for 5 months. And then, significantly, it says in Genesis chapter 8, verse 1, God remembered Noah and his family and the beasts and the cattle that were with him in the ark. He remembered them. What does that mean? Zacher in Hebrew. He was committed to provide deliverance for Noah. He acted on the behalf of those who were inside of the ark. That's encouraging, isn't it? He remembers us. He knows that we are just dust. And so he has compassion on us in Christ. So it says, verse 1, Genesis chapter 8. God caused a strong wind to pass over the earth, avar in Hebrew. He caused it to pass through and around the entire earth. And so the water of the flood subsided. Shakah in Hebrew. The water began to decrease. It began to go down, filling the depths of the ocean and the fountains of the deep and the floodgates of the sky, it says in verse 2, were closed. So the water stopped flowing. The rain from the sky was restrained by God, it says, Kala. He held back the rain. And so the water receded steadily from the earth, shuv in Hebrew. It was turned back. And at the end of that 150 days, the water decreased greatly. And in the seventh month, it says, on the 17th day of the month, what happened? Verse 4 says, the ark rested. Nuach in Hebrew, it settled down somewhere upon the mountains, upon the mountain range of Ararat, perhaps in the southeastern part of Turkey or the eastern part of Armenia. And the water continued to decrease steadily until the 10th month. And on the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains became visible. God spared mankind through Noah and his family. What an encouragement to us. What hope we have. If we will come to Christ for the forgiveness of our sin, we will be delivered. We will be spared the judgment of God. But I think we need to remind ourselves of this fact, that today, over 70% of the earth is still covered with water. Perhaps that's a reminder that destruction and deliverance are still in the hands of God. It says in Psalm 31, verse 15, our times are in his hand. So what can we learn from the message of the flood? Well, I think one thing we can learn is that those of us who know the Lord, those of us who belong to Jesus Christ, are in his hands. Nothing can separate us from him. We are in the hands of Christ Jesus, our Lord, forever. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.